You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another great day on a Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is great to be along with you once again, live from 6 to 9 in the East. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on this midweek edition, we begin with a huge day in baseball, a huge win for the Tigers as they headline the first day of the playoffs in the MLB. So we'll get into that in 20 minutes. The Ravens get ready for Week 5 without Lamar Jackson in the lineup. Find out what that means for the boys from Charm City. We've got my streaming corner at 6:40. An early look at the games we like in the NFL, and we will talk with Cody Decker in our final hour. More baseball on the schedule. Chelsea, how you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I am so sick, but what a day of baseball we had ourselves yesterday. I surely hope that some people who are normally not baseball fans tuned in to some of this magic yesterday, because I feel like a lot of new baseball fans should have been creative last night, because boy, what a day of games it was.
Oh, it was awesome. I really enjoyed yesterday as someone who has, and I've said this to you before, someone who has sort of come back into the fold and really started to enjoy baseball over the past few years, more so than I have previously. And so to sit at home, I was working on this show for a while and had a home improvement guy over and he's working on the fridge. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy myself, watch some baseball. I went out after that with the lovely Catherine for a couple hours. Baseball was on the TV, and just to have it there and to be able to definitely engage in what was going on, but just have it part of my existence for an entire day was pretty awesome. I'm so glad the playoffs are here.
Absolutely, because it has a different feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have daytime baseball like every Wednesday during regular season. It just does not hit the same. You know, when every single pitching change matters so much, when every single defensive blunder could cost you a game, and it felt like there was really only one game yesterday that felt out of hand. Like, the Dodgers game was really the only game that did not feel like a sweat till the very end.
Yeah, every single one just went down to the very end, where all it would have taken is a swing or a base hit or something to change the complexion of a series, the complexion of the game. So it was great. We're going to get more of that today. At least that's what we hope. And our bets were nice yesterday as well. It always helps when you're watching and your bets are hitting.
Yeah, I still am going to shake my fist at the Red Sox in the first five, because of course they won the full game, but I had them in the first five. But other than that, it was a 3-1 day for me. I had Tigers Guardians first five under 3.5, banking on the pitching matchup there, and it did not disappoint. 1-1 after five innings. Dodgers money line plus Blake Snell, 6 strikeouts. That was an easy winner as well. Blake Snell had 9 strikeouts. Dodgers win 10-5. Red Sox first five money line. They were down 1-0 and then came back to win the game 3-1. So what a performance from Garrett Crochet, but I wish I would have taken him in the full game. Cubs money line, that was the winner as well, as the Cubs win 3-1.
Yeah, 3-0 day for this guy, so that was nice. I was not on the Red Sox, and I had the Dodgers -1 against the Reds. I've been playing a lot of those -1 bets, but they have been working out. If they don't work out, they generally push, so I will take that. As for the Dogster, he was on the Tigers money line against the Guardians. That was a winner, 3-1. We'll talk about that game in mere moments.
For the week, Chelsea, you are 3-2. I'm 4-0. And the Donkster, 2-0 here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Once again, thanks for being with us on a Wednesday morning, getting halfway through the week. And let's begin with that early game because it was a good one. Tigers and the Guardians getting together in Cleveland. And we've seen the Tigers, you know, faltering again and again and again during the regular season. They needed one yesterday, and they get it with a 2-1 win over the Guardians. The Tigers -170 on the money line. Total set at 6. The under hits. Detroit gets it done with their ace and some small ball in the 7th.
9 more here today. A bunt dropped down by Zach McKinstry. Noel will go to first, and Detroit takes the lead.
Call courtesy of ESPN. So the Tigers eke out the dub, but the real story here is Tariq Skubal and his performance. I mean, master class. Best in the world stuff yesterday. 7 2/3 innings, 1 run on 3 hits, strikes out 14. And we've talked a lot about some of these pitchers. If they get in trouble, or even if they don't, will they go long in games? You don't want to wear them out. He threw 107 pitches, a season high, hit 101 on the gun in the 7th, hit 98 on the gun multiple times in the 8th, 5 strikeouts in a row at one point, including retiring 8 of 9 via the strikeout. I mean, he was world-class yesterday, and, you know, I know sometimes fans like to see a lot of runs, but if you just wanted to see someone at the top of his craft, Tariq Skubal was it yesterday.
Yeah, and it's wild that he threw this absolute masterclass gem, and they almost still lost the game.
Yeah.
Like, there was a chance in the end of this game where the Tigers, you know, could have blown it against the Guardians, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, here comes the voodoo magic again, because first, you have somebody get a triple off an infield hit. You know, you say to yourself, what in the world is going on with some of these defensive plays? And I keep coming back to the fundamentals matter so much in the postseason, because there is such a small, you know, space for error because these games are so close that you see these guys who are the top 0.001% in the world, and you think to yourself, how could they ever make a mistake? But it happens. We saw it with the Yankees in the World Series. We saw it with the Tigers almost blowing it against the Guardians yesterday. But this was a massive win. Massive, massive, massive win for the Tigers. It feels like the vibes are now cleared here. It feels like they have gotten over the hump when it comes to beating the Guardians, because it's not like Tariq Skubal has not been pitching well against the Guardians. He has great numbers. You know, coming into this game, he had 28 innings with only 2 earned runs. So another masterclass. He set the tone here, and I feel like this is what you want from your ace. Old school workhorse type stuff. What a game from Tariq Skubal.
He was unbelievable. I don't know if I buy the idea that they're over the hump yet, though. Like, maybe they needed this in a big way. But it's one game, and it's crazy. If you go back to the end of the regular season, Skubal faced the Guardians twice and lost both of those games despite pitching really well. I thought the key to this game happened in the 4th inning. Like, it was really close where, you know, the Guardians had runners on. There was a play at the plate. Initially, that Guardians runner was called out. They went to review, and they come back, and no, he's safe. And then the next play, Tariq Skubal had to make that defensive play where he scoops it up with his glove and then scoops it to first, which was a great defensive play. But remember at the end of the season, in that final regular season game, where he tried that scoop between the legs, and then that was just a total disaster, and the wheels came off. So as soon as that ball was hit and I saw him go for the scoop, it was like, hold your breath for a second. Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, hell of a defensive play, but I feel like, for me, the game turned on that play, because if he doesn't make that play and the Guardians get another run, all of a sudden this game shifts, and maybe it's what we saw in that final regular season game. Instead, they ended the inning, and Skubal was just nails from there on out.
Yeah, I mean, that's how a lot of these games felt. Like, it felt like there were several turning points in every game where a guy, you know, strikes out somebody to end an inning. And that's why strikeout stuff, I feel like, is so important from your ace. You know, it's great to be an efficiency pitcher, but when it comes to the postseason, and guys are just going to get on base because these...
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are the best hitters in the world. But when you can strike out somebody to end an inning and just end the threat right there, that is such a power move. And this is what you expect from your aces. And that's what we got yesterday. We had all kinds of ace level performances from starting pitchers. And this is why it is such these teams that have number one aces that have true ace stuff. So it's not a depth thing. It's like, hey, how good are your number one and number two pitchers and maybe your number three? And at least when the Tigers have Tariq Skubal going, they're going to have a chance in every game.
Did you see the camera that got broken as well? It was a swing of the bat from a Guardians player. Yeah. I forget who it was. And all of a sudden, the camera just shattered behind home plate. Even that was cool, I have to say. I mean, not for equipment getting damaged, but it just goes to show, like, it just sort of added to the mystique. I mean, it's not like he threw it right at the camera. It was just something about that. Like, of course, a camera would break because Skubal is just dealing in this game. And then we get another game two today. So are you of the belief? I know you said this, but do you think this is it? This is what the Tigers needed? They're going to be fine now, and maybe they go on, they win this series?
No, they still need to score runs.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. They had a masterclass from Tariq Skubal that I don't think is going to be replicated by anybody. Casey Mize has good stuff, but he's not Tariq Skubal. So that's the thing. Like, yeah, you feel good about finally beating the Guardians, but you got to hit something. Like, the good news is the Guardians are kind of a good matchup for you right now. I know it didn't feel like it going in, but the Guardians aren't a heavy-hitting team either. Feels like they score runs by, like, you know, crazy turns of events where somebody gets an infield triple and then somebody scores on the next play or something. So both teams need to score some runs if they want to win games. Otherwise, it's just going to be a pitcher's bonanza. And maybe that's what we'll see in the rest of these games, because it feels like that's what we've seen for most of this series throughout the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be low scoring, which might go into my handicap today when we're looking at game two and the rest of the games later on in the show. How about elsewhere in the American League, where the Red Sox upset the Yankees 3-1? The Red Sox plus 115. Total bet MGM set at 6.5. The under hits. Boston's offense struggles to get going until the seventh, down 1-0.
Yoshida sends one to center field. Raffaello's going to come in. Sogard to the plate. Masayoshida delivers. And Boston now leads it 2-1 as they get to the bullpen and Luke Weaver.
That's from ESPN. On the mound, starting pitcher for Boston, Garrett Crochet, was unbelievable. 7 2/3, scatters 4 hits, allows 1 earned, strikes out 11, including the side in the fifth. The Yankees had a chance here. Bases loaded in the night, no one out before Aroldis Chapman works out of the jam. And it just felt like to me, like, the Yankees got to get one here, right? They have to get one. And they just did not do it. So this felt like a wasted opportunity for New York, particularly late.
All right, so let's think about this, because me and Jake were talking about this when we were sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. So even if you score that run from third, say that the throw is in time at the plate, the outcomes and the inning is over. Like, even if you score it, you still have to score another.
Right.
So, like, I don't know if I agree with that.
That what, they blew it, or that they should have been more aggressive? Agree with what?
I don't think that they needed to be aggressive on the base pass there. Because think about it. If you get out, you're in the game.
Right. Well, I mean, initially, like when, I don't think it's necessarily you have to be aggressive at the end, but you can be aggressive earlier on. Like you get a guy on and maybe you find a way to sort of manufacture runs. I think maybe that's the way they could have done it. I think ultimately this just comes down to the Yankees just being inconsistent with their bats. You know, that's the one thing that stands out to me is that as good as they are, and the Yankees, you know, when you're going down that lineup, it's just one big hitter after another. But they do have a propensity to sort of just kind of shut down in big moments, and I kind of feel like we saw that late. It's weird to say, can you trust the Yankees' bats? But throughout the season, as good as they can be, they can pile on the runs, and then they just kind of disappear for a while.
Right, like they don't get the timely hits. And we've seen this from the Yankees before. As big as their payroll is, you would think that they could score more runs. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to win many games scoring one run. But I will say this was the toughest pitching matchup that you're going to face from the Red Sox. When you have 7 2/3 from Garrett Crochet, who had ace stuff in that night, and then you follow it up with Aroldis Chapman, who I know did not look especially dominant last night. It felt like the Aroldis Chapman postseason experience of old. But still, he's coming off one of his best regular seasons of all time. And he's had great numbers in Major League Baseball for a long time. So when you have those two guys that you have to face, like, that is a tough matchup. But we're not talking about the Oakland A's here. We're talking about the Yankees. You know, a team that has one of the highest payrolls in all of baseball. So this is the type of stuff you're going to face. But I will say it should get easier in their next game.
It should. And also, the Red Sox have really had the Yankees' number. If you go back to the regular season, early on, it was all Red Sox. They won 8 of 9 against the Yankees, and then the Yankees kind of turned the tide at the end of the year, winning 3 of 4. But with this win yesterday, Red Sox now 10 and 4 against the Yankees this season. And if you go back and look at previous postseasons, the Red Sox have won 9 of their last 10 games against the Yankees in the playoffs. So they have really found ways in many different ways to be able to beat their arch rivals. And I don't know if that's a mental advantage for the Red Sox, but it certainly, I think, plays into it when these are your arch rivals and you have really had their number over the past few years.
I'll say this. It felt like the Red Sox weren't playing scared in this one. It felt like the Yankees kind of were. Because I think if there is any type of managerial debate, like moving forward, it's going to be how Aaron Boone handled the bullpen last night. Because Max Fried was absolutely dealing. He's your ace this year. I know he's not Garrett Cole, but still, I feel like you could have left him in maybe a little bit longer. Then you have Garrett Crochet out there dealing. The Red Sox definitely looked like the better team last night.
Yeah, and also, they don't have the pressure the Yankees have. The Yankees should win. It's New York, so the Red Sox go in as dogs, get the dub. They're playing a lot looser than the Yankees, for sure. Also, the Dodgers beat the Reds 10-5. Shohei and Teoscar Hernandez each with 2 home runs, and the Cubs top the Padres 3-1. Coming up next, we'll go to the NFL and Lamar Jackson news next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.